So anyways, yeah, and that guy, he just, well, you know, I fucking told you. Dude, it was like needle off the record. I couldn't fucking believe it.
When last I left you, listeners, I was in the middle of driving Nate Adams. I was going to pick up old Nady. Okay, so here's this is going to work. He needed a ride to the airport, and it was also going to double as kind of like a little, not like a meeting, but like a what's going on, do you have any more work for us kind of thing. So it was a little, oh, he was going to have me turn my Uber on, use me as a fucking Uber guy. Now, I guess his flight leaves at, he told me to pick him up at 8:30. I'm supposed to take him to the airport, which he lives like fucking mid-city or something. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean, mid-city. That doesn't mean anything. But his flight pushes, then it pushes again. I pick him up. Now it's almost 10 o'clock. I go over to pick him up, and he's just a nice little man. Nate's a nice guy. He's a fucking, sweet of a guy, gym of a guy. But he's not an easy guy to talk to. And he's one of these guys. Well, just like quick side note is, I've always had something about me for some reason that makes people just want to argue with me or disagree with me or second guess me. I don't know. I've had it my entire life. I don't know what it is. But he's one of those guys. And if people have that quality about them, that they like to argue too, then it's extra contentious for me. And he's one of these guys where anything I ever say to this dude, the next sentence he replies me with starts with, well, there's always got to be a counterpoint or something else or some other, even if it's the same thing of what I said, but his version, he's one of those guys. And I'm like, he's kind of hard. I couldn't put my finger on him. I'm like, this guy, I like him and stuff. And I've like kind of hung out with him and shit, but it's weird hanging out with him, and I don't know what. And then I realized, I was like, oh yeah, he does that a lot. So it's weird to me. It never feels like an equal footing relationship. It always feels like he's got to have one better. I'm not even saying this like not even like in a shitty way. It's just a idiosyncratic thing about him. Anyways, I love to is just so happened that day that Adam was bitching about Nate on the show. I mean, not totally about him, but about something that happened where Nate was involved. I was like, I guess Nate doesn't listen to the show. I'm like, oh, did you hear the show today? Adam was busting your balls. He's like, no, what did he say? And then I gotta tell him. I gotta tell him what he said about him. And then I get the real story from Nate. I fucking love it. It's like behind the scenes. Because I listen to that fucking show, like, religiously. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of Adam. It's funny to just listen to him tell me stories about random shit that Adam does. And it's just, Adam's just his boss. He's just a guy that's his boss. But it's just like, it's funny that his boss is just like Adam Carolla. He's a fucking, just technically like a celebrity, but just a dude I'm a fan of. It's just funny to hear him so casually, like, just talk about random shit that he does. And I don't know. He seems to really like working for Adam. He's like a tough but fair guy. And then he's like, I love him, man. He sticks to his guns, and he's got balls, and he's just like, I'm like, I want to fucking work for him so bad. Anyways, so we get to the airport, and we loaded the shit into my car when I picked him up, right? His luggage and stuff. And he gives me his phone to order Uber. He's like, I gotta run and grab something. He's like, take my thing and order me an Uber with my phone, and then you just catch it and turn on the thing. And I was like, okay. So hang on, there's a cop ahead of me. You can't get in trouble for talking to a mic, can you? I don't think so. Hang on, putting his mic down for a second. LAPD motherfucker. This is a weird one because I'm driving. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, and I gotta drive downtown to meet my fucking boss, to pick up a lens from him on set downtown LA for some fucking music video. Anyways. So I might have to cut this off halfway through and then turn it back on. Not that that's any kind of cause for alarm, or I really had no reason to even tell you that at this juncture. I threw Nate in my cup holder. I threw Nate's phone in my fucking my little like my armrest and shit inside my car. You know what I mean? And we go to the airport, drop him off. No, listen to that. Blah blah blah. I get on the freeway. This light, this strange light, come erupting from fucking light. Something catches my eye. And I look down. There's like a light coming out of my fucking cup holder, and I'm like, oh my god. He fucking got on the plane and forgot his phone. Not only that, he's flying to New York because it's like the last shoot. He's producing a documentary on his own, and he's flying there to get shot, to shoot shit at Madison Square Garden. Doesn't have his fucking phone. I'm like, oh my god. And I just see like his, I don't know, look like his wife's name. And I pick up, I'm like, Nate forgot his phone, didn't he? I'm sorry. Did I make a concentration? Now I'm fucking up my Tarantino movie. Sorry, that was a big gaffe there. Gaffe. I was almost home. I'm almost fucking home. It's almost 11 o'clock. I see her calling his phone, and I was like, motherfuck. And she's like, can you bring Nate's phone? She's like, I will give you any amount of money. She's like, I'll give you like fucking $40. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I'll bring it over. Because like they kind of lived over the hill. They lived over by like, it's like, it's halfway between like Hollywood and downtown, but you could just kind of take like Laurel Canyon. Well, who cares? No one needs to know this. It wasn't that bad of a drive, but at that hour of night, I was like, son of a bitch. So I had a fucking, anyway, it was my fault. I should have remembered that I put the fucking phone in there. But I did drive his phone all the way back and didn't get home till fucking 12:30. So I went from picking up at 8:30 and being home around 10 to I got home at fucking after midnight. That was way too long to tell it. Oh, no, it was only 6 minutes. Okay, that wasn't too bad. But, yeah, so that's where that left off. And he's like, oh, I got some shit brewing, but it's not ready yet, so I'll let you guys know if there's any more projects. But and as far as last week's, the thing's still in post. I still haven't heard from her, the artist, about our last round of edits. So hopefully she's okay with it and we get paid, because I really don't want to not get paid. I think it's going to be all right. It's just, and fucking, old Nate stepped in for us. He fucking stepped up to bat and was like, yeah, he kind of grabbed her. Cause the guy that sent him the video was her manager. And he's like, look, she's got it. She's being ridiculous now. Like this, she's asking for shit. You can't even, she's got to fucking settle down. Like she's getting what she paid for. And these guys did a fucking good job for her. So he goes, you know what I think happened? He's like, she watched it with one of her friends and somebody said, you look old. Cause that's all she wants is all these filters and all kinds of shit put over her to make her, try to make her look younger. She does not want to accept the fact that she's fucking 44 and looks every fucking bit of 44. Like, you know, she wants like reality change. It's just like, it doesn't work that way. So, you know, hopefully, it works out. That's the first bullet point I have. You know, the other night, I have no idea how the fuck I ended up doing this. I ended up Googling pictures of New Kids on the Block. And I don't know why. I came across a picture of them. And I was like, look how fucking 90s this picture. Look how like early 90s it is. And it's just like every little fucking bit of like clothing or whatever, or hairstyle. It's just so weird to see every detail that makes up a time that you can just look at it and know exactly when it was. And I look at those pictures and then like they keep getting back together. I mean, these poor bastards. They keep getting back together and doing tours, and they're like, fucking, what are they, 50 and shit? And they look better older, except for Donnie Wahlberg. He looks like a fucking old man, but like all the other guys, like, they were ugly fucking kids. The one dude looked like a fucking girl. I remember the one guy looked like a gorilla. He was an ugly motherfucker, man. What was it? Was it Danny? I think his name was Danny. And that dude looked like a fucking ape. But now he's like, he's still ugly fuck, but he's like jacked to shit. He's in like fucking, he's in like perfect shape and shit. And I don't know how they managed to look better in their fucking 40s, 50s than they did when they were like in their fucking teens. But, what did that make me think of? Hang on. So I remember like, I was in fifth grade when they hit. And all the fucking girl, just your very inner nature made you hate them as a guy. Because they sucked and all the girls, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to burp into the mic. They suck and all the girls worship them, so we're like, fuck those guys. Even though I think that was right on the cusp of girls are yucky to something weird's happening to my wiener and my pants, and it feels funny now when I wake up in the morning thing. It's like right on that fucking toeing that line. And I hated him so much. And then I just remember just like, I hated everything. I was just like the anti, whatever was like the popular thing in school. I just fucking hated. And I don't know if it was just me being honest and I genuinely didn't like it, or if there's something weird in me that it was like, well, I'm Luke and my thing is to not like this. I honestly don't know. I'm pretty sure it was genuine because there was, I didn't hate it for the sake of hating it. At least I don't think so. And if I did, it's pretty stupid. But like rap, you know, rap, New Kids on the Block, anything that was, you know, a current fad, I didn't like. I had to go against the grain and like something a little bit weirder, you know, something a little bit more outside everybody's comfort zone. I listened to metal, AC/DC. You know, I wore like Slayer shirts to school. I was a big fan of like, you know, Beavis and Butthead and stuff. Like I was a guy, I could have hung out with those two. That's like the category that I fell into. So like, I just remember all my life. I was like, why did I make it? Why was it so difficult? Or why did I make it so? Was it me? Why was it so tough? I remember this one time in sixth grade, fucking, we were on a field trip or something. My whole class was on the bus together. And fucking, this is when Ice Ice Baby was huge. And the entire fucking school bus is sitting there singing. There's like singing everywhere. The guys, girls, everything. Like everyone knew every fucking single word. And they're all just like, it was like karaoke. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, what a bunch of fucking assholes. You know, like I hate this. Like you guys think this is fucking cool? Like this is embarrassing. Like this song sucks. This guy's a fag. And you're all fucking retards. I mean, I wasn't like yelling, shut up. I just like sat there and like looked out the window. Just like, I didn't understand it. And then I went further back in my childhood. And I remember when I was a lad, this is back in Cheektowaga. I moved out of there when I was in second grade. And I never fit into that neighborhood. None of those fucking kids. I don't know. I see, is there a pattern forming here? Remember in Maid with Peter Falk? Actually, I walked in a room full of fucking Westies for that money. They were Westies. You'd be dead. Is there a pattern forming here? Yeah, I never fit in. I was always, I don't know, people fucking hated me and beat me up. When I was little or before I was bigger, I used to get fucking kind of beat up. I remember there was this fat kid named Jeffrey that lived around the block on my old street. And like I said, I moved out of there when I was in second grade. And he'd get on the bus every morning and he'd come by and he would like look over his shoulder, the bus driver, and he would raise his fist above his head and just pound me, just fucking blast me as hard as he could. And I'd put my back against the bus window and kind of put my fucking hands in front of me and just like kick as hard as I could. So I'd kick him and he would like punch me, but he never like really got me. Just kind of like punch my legs. They were pretty ineffective because I was in a good, you know, defensive position. It's hard to punch through somebody's feet and legs. It's actually a pretty good, you know, I had it pretty locked down. And him and his, I think there was another kid too. Another kid that used to fucking punch me. But I remember him in particular. I still remember what he looked like. He was a fat fuck. He lived around the block. He was a piece of shit. And then, like, when you're a little kid, like, around the block might as well have been fucking, you know, Tijuana. Like, that was in little kid land, that's as far away. That might as well have been another fucking continent. We got it. You already explained that with the Tijuana asshead. But, I remember when I was going to move away at the end of first grade, and I don't know, I guess the whole bus hated me, but I'm telling you, I still have this fucking memory. I was probably 6 years old, and the whole bus, the entire bus was singing in unison. Remember, you know that song, na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye. They were singing that, but they'd go, goodbye, Lucas. And I sat there, and the whole bus was singing to me. And I had both of my middle fingers in the air at the entire bus. Yeah, and I was like, fuck you. And I had both my fingers in the air. And the bus driver was like, put those middle fingers down. And we had this bus driver, this poor woman. Her name was April. And, you know, in my memories, I wish I could go back in time and see her because I think she was, like, hot. I remember being like a really attractive black woman for some reason, but she was a school bus and she was like a fucking jive turkey and she didn't take no fucking sass. And I remember she'd always, I didn't even know what a supervisor was, but she would always threaten us with telling her, I'm gonna tell my supervisor. I always remember her saying, I was like, what is this? I just knew it sounded bad. Like we were in trouble. Whatever the supervisor was, from the context clues, even in my young brain, we knew we didn't want that person involved. But yeah, I just remember that too, and I was just like, I just two fingers in the air, little kid, like, fuck you, whole bus. No one likes me, fuck all you guys. And there's this weird kid named Wayne, and he looked every bit of the name Wayne, and he had a weird haircut, and I think he was in special classes or something. He was just a weirdo, and he had like those glasses with the, he had glasses that had like the band that went around the back that kept it around your head like basketball players. Basketball player, and he'd sit in his bus seat, and he would bounce his head back and forth, like not like hard, but he would kind of bounce back and forth in the seat, and he would sing a song that went, Lamborghini suck my weenie. He'd go, Lamborghini suck my weenie, and he would do it for the whole fucking bus ride sometimes. And he was just famous for that, was his song, Lamborghini suck my weenie. That's how we knew this lad. And I think I might have told the story in LJR. I feel rumblings of recognizing this, but one time we all, April did, I don't know why, I remember her name was April, and she got her supervisor, and the whole fucking bus and our parents, this is how bad my bus was, it was bus 2, and we all had to go into this fucking meeting, this is an elementary school, all of us and our fucking parents, and like just everyone was just like, what are we going to do about this bus, all you kids are so bad kind of thing. And I don't know, somebody got in trouble for something, and they're like, "Is it? Oh yeah, you can yell at me every single day." Wayne sits on the bus and sings "Lamborghini suck my weenie," and the whole fucking room, like everyone laughed. Like parents are like, "Ah!" Everyone fucking, it was so stupid. Everyone laughed. Oh, and then there's this other dude, this kid down the street named Lester, who was a real fucking asshole. He didn't like me either, but it was weird because like, it was almost like, I guess it was like the U.S. and Russia in the 70s. Like sometimes you'd put your differences aside and kind of play, but usually it went sour. Or somebody said something, you know, it went sideways one way or the other. But, hang on, let me make sure my phone's fucking, I'm technically still on the clock at work, so let me make sure my phone's, in case my fucking boss texts me anything. Rude, hang on. Sorry, I'm on the wretched 10, the fucking 10, the worst fucking freeway. I'm sorry, there's gonna be a little background noise in this one. So, Lester and this other kid, I think his name was Jesse, and, they used to sing. They used to always sit behind me, and they sang a song that went, "Shaboom, shaboom, you got a stomach like a balloon. Shaboom, shaboom." That's how it went. It was like some 50s song. I remember, like way later when I was like fucking 18, I heard like it was based on like a real song. I was like, "I know that's a song those kids used to sing on the bus," and like they used to sing it all the time. That like that was their fucking song. They weren't weird like Wayne. They just fucking I would just hear them singing it. Both of them. Like it was like a cappella. Like they were under a fucking streetlight in Brooklyn, and. I think like one day, I guess just to see what would happen, I kind of sang it to myself and I went, "Shaboom, shaboom, got a stomach like a balloon. Fucking shut the fuck!" And I hear like two voices just yell, "Like that's our fucking song. Don't sing it." And I think one of their fists came over the back of the bus seat, like punched like right next to my head. I was like, "Ah!" I was like, "All right, I won't sing it. I won't sing the shaboom, shaboom song." But this is the kind of shit I went through as a fucking lad. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I was that guy. I was always like the asshole that didn't like everything and. Generally pissing everybody off. Hang on. You know, this is weird because I forgot to print my notes, so I'm driving around in the broad daylight, because there's a lot of fucking broads out here, reading it off my computer screen that's in my fucking seat. Hang on. Oh, yeah. You know what I was thinking? What would it be like? So, little Luke gets off the bus, both of his fingers, admonished from his bus driver for being so offensive to everybody. And they're like, "Where'd you learn how to do that?" or something like that. I don't know. "Where'd you learn middle finger?" April, the bus driver. And I'm like, what would it be like to just, if future me could go back in time, like fucking Marty McFly and his dad, and pull me aside and be like, "Dude, shit's going to get so weird. Like, in 20 years, you're going to be in fucking, you're going to be all the way in Los Angeles in California. That's where you're going to fucking live. You're going to work like kind of, you're going to kind of work in movies and stuff. And then, like, your parents are going to get divorced. And your mom, a black guy's going to move in. Your mom's going to live with a black guy for 14 years. And then you're going to have a half-black sister when you're like nine, when you're like fucking 15 years old. Like, how would I, you know? Imagine going back into telling some, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like Mr. Awesome Dude, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, they go back and tell their little kid self, like, "Yeah, we'll still, you know, 20 years later we'll be here and we'll have a job at the fucking insurance office or something like that and have a fucking nice house." This kind of shit. But just like, how fucking bizarre did my life end up? I don't know. I wasn't like from a very young age. I was like, "I'm going to Hollywood." No, it wasn't until like I was like fucking 19, maybe 20, that I think of that. I don't know. That was a dumb point. Why did I bring that up? That's fucking stupid. It makes me sound like kind of a douchebag. I didn't mean to. You know what else I had a memory of today? It was so random. It's random Luke memory day on fucking LFT 405. At my old job at Derek Manufacturing, Cheektowaga, New York, It was a big plant. And it was like a lot of the places could be described as a shop. It looked like a shop, you know, blue collar machine, you know, presses and this kind of shit. So like when I worked in the motor department, the time clock to clock out was right in the middle of the floor. So if you ever fucking left early, if you left at like 3:30 because the shift ended, the day was, what was it, 7 to 5? It was a fucking long day. Yeah, I think it was. If you want to fucking clock out, everyone in the whole thing could see you, and the entire place would go, whoa, 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 and everyone, there's like this chorus. Everyone would fucking like yell. Even sometimes when the boss, the guy that was the foreman would do it, we'd even do it to him. He'd just look around with this like awkward smile, like, fuck you guys. But there was this one kid. He was such a dick. He was a fucking wacko. He was like the boss's, Brandon, if you're listening, it's the pirate. It was the pirate's son. Pirate had a couple sons. But one was a real something just went wrong with his kid. What's Michael Keaton saying? Batman had a head full of bad wiring, I guess. Did stupid things, but he got sloppy. This kid was a fucking, he was just an asshole and brought great dishonor to his father there. But he would clock out, and he fucking hated, like, the anger that came off his fucking face would turn red. He'd get so pissed. He was like, you know, he was like my age, because we were like 19 or 20, maybe 20. And he would get so mad when we did it to him. So it was extra fun, and people would do it extra hard to him because he like couldn't take a fucking joke. That was a weird place because my dad worked at this place for like my dad was like a fucking legend in this place. He was like the Dalton from Roadhouse, but not even that. He was more like the fucking kind of like a Steven Seagal of the place. Like he was just like known. You don't fuck with him. But he was like an even-handed man. He wasn't like a bully. He was like, if you fuck with him, you either got your ass kicked or almost got your ass kicked. But he was like, he was usually right. I mean, no, everyone like loved him. They weren't like, oh, your dad's a dick. They were like, no, you're fucking dead. It's just like he was a guy that didn't take any shit. This kind of thing. So like, I had a pretty wide berth in there because like they knew who my fucking old man was. But where was I going with this story? Why did I start telling that? Oh, so the foreman of my department was like, he was a fucking super nice. I loved him. He was super cool. I don't know if he was just, I don't know. He seemed genuinely nice to me. I don't think he was just because of my dad. But I guess like my dad just fucking, he hated that guy's, he hated his guts. And he told me at night, like he would fantasize about killing, about like feeding him to his snakes and putting his thumbs through this guy's eyes. He fucking hated my foreman. So he was such a nice guy. He was always like so fucking cool to me. I couldn't understand why he hated, I never really saw him do anything that made him, hang on. Okay, that made him warrant that kind of hatred for him. I was always curious about that. I'm like, what the fuck did he do to get him so pissed? But I guess it was just the way, I don't know. But that was kind of a non-story too. More stories about my work. I know there's some fucking entertaining shit. Well, my dad, his machine was over by one of the gang bathrooms. Oh yeah, I was thinking about this today. I guess along the lines of, you know, where you'll be in 20 years. Just like thinking of like how work is out here in LA and how the work in that place was, I swear to you, it was like working in a prison fucking metal shop. It was so fucking regimented and they were so up your ass. I mean, you could not fuck around one bit in this place. Like people that were like thought of as slackers, like people that were like, oh man, that dude's a fucking slacker. But it's like, even like if you were a slacker, you still like worked your butt. Like you couldn't leave your station. You couldn't really talk that much. Like you had to clock. We got like 3 10-minute breaks or something a day and a half hour lunch. And it was like to the fucking minute. I mean, there was no fucking around. You better be back. If you were late for lunch twice in a week, you got like written up like a minute late. Like, you know, it was no fucking joke. And like, you're just stuck in there. Just the shit I had to do in there. And what a fucking miserable goddamn job. It was like being in a fucking prison. I swear. It was like factory like labor. It was so monotonous and shitty. You had to wear fucking steel-toe boots that hurt my fucking feet so bad. Like I said, the work day was 7 to 5. That was the fucking shift. And sometimes I had jobs where I just stood in one spot all fucking day, just like fucking doing some kind of repetitive shit that was awful. And like my only saving grace, like your only saving grace was like the radio. Most of the fucking things in there, it was either classic rock or fucking country music. Rarely, you were lucky if you got like modern music on like a Kiss 98.5 or something like that. But all that's another thing where some of my hatred for classic rock, because like I didn't like it, and it was forced down my fucking eardrums every day to Sticks and fucking Sleds. I mean, the same song. They could have at least, I mean, you know how radio goes. At least if they played some fucking B-side every day at 5, Get the Lead Out. Like, I'm like, did they have Get the Lead Out? Get it lead from Led Zeppelin? So they'd have to play like 6 Led Zeppelin tracks. But it was like the fucking pretty much the same songs every day. And the same songs that were probably already played at least once that day. It was so fucking uncreative, so unimaginative. Like, and like, that's, Buffalo didn't come up with, that's like a national, every fucking rock station does that. That's a common classic rock fucking trope, is to get the lead out. That's not, you know, that's not a one city phenomena. And like, they're just be like, I always be like a dude just like fucking a hangman from Styx will come on. Dun, 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 dun. And I look over and a dude's like playing air guitar on a broom. And the guy's like fucking 50, like horseshoe ball, like with a beer gut. Like, this fucking bad jam, man. What are you listening to? Fucking Limp Bizkit? I'm like, no, I don't. I don't listen to this either. These guys stink. I listen to Dead Guy. But like, and I'm like, and I look at this guy who's playing guitar on the broom. And I'm like, this song came out when you were 15. You've been hearing it since you were 15 on the radio. You've probably heard it. Hangman from fucking Styx. Probably 1,500 times in your life. I'm like, no shit. 1,500 to maybe 2,000 fucking times. And you're still excited hearing it. Like, how can you still hear this song that never went away? I'm like that way with like any song off that first Pearl Jam album, for example. But that one in particular. Any one of those fucking songs, I don't need it. And there's still a good 4 or 5 songs off 10 from Pearl Jam, but they never made it on the radio. It's the exact same thing with Nirvana, Nevermind. The first fucking 5 or 6 songs were the hits, and the entire B-side of Nevermind never made it to the radio. And like the song are ballsy as fuck, from Territorial Pissing Zion, I think it's track 6 to track like 10 or 11. Except, you know, not like Polly, or what's that one where he's Something in the Way? Okay, those are fucking, those are depressing. But like the songs that like fucking Breed and Stay Away, fuck, those songs rule. God damn, they're so fucking good. But Monkey See, Monkey Do, that's a fucking good jam. That's a bad jam. Redneck Noise, dude, making about as much sense as you do. Remember from Platoon, with Bunny and Junior. Y'all got your last mile out of Junior. I'm a fucking reference factor today. But yeah, like just like Alive from Pearl. I hear like the opening thing of fucking from Alive, and I'm like, God damn it, I never need to fucking hear this song. You know what's even worse? Any fucking song off Appetite for Destruction from Guns N' Roses. It's the most overplayed album of my lifetime. I mean, a fucking day would not go by. Fucking Sweet Child of Mine. Every fucking song on there is 7.5 minutes long. And it's just fucking Welcome to the Jungle and Sweet Child of Mine. I've heard fucking, I heard enough for a lifetime at 22. I'm fucking 36 now. Like, I never really liked them to begin with. I was never a Guns N' Roses guy, ever. I liked Use Your Illusion 2. That was it. And a handful of songs at that. And I liked It's So Easy. That's a good fucking tune. You don't hear that. You don't hear that one on the fucking radio. It's So Easy off of fucking Appetite. That's a fucking killer jam. Every fucking good metal band has covered that too. I think it was fucking the Converge. Ooh. But hang on, I need a drink of water. I know you drink of water. Raw in that fucking water. Then shut the fuck up. Well, this traffic is not fucking moving, babe. Right. I drank some fucking water, alright? So fuck those songs. Where am I at? Bear with me. This is a very multitasky operation I got going today. Weird childhood stuff. Okay, I think I covered that. So Saturday, was that Saturday? Bruce and I. Now, this is stand-up stuff. Okay. I go to do West Side, my favorite mic. And now Bruce, who's Corinne's, we've referenced them dozens of times. They're friends of ours. They both do stand-up. Bruce all of a sudden's got his fucking his work boots on and wants to do stand-up all the time. Now, I wanted like a buddy to go do mics with. Well, it used to be LC, the black dude, but he's like, I don't know what the fuck he's doing anymore. But I wanted someone to kind of go around with, and now like I finally kind of like do. And like, I don't know, I just hit who wants to listen to me complain about this anymore? Whatever, I'll trudge on. I'll cut it short whenever I feel like I've exhausted everyone's fucking ears of my trials and tribulations with my existential crisis of being a fucking stand-up. But I got up again, I just fucking ate shit. I mean, by the time I got up, there's like 9 people in the place. Like, I don't know, usually at Saturday night, Mike is packed, but there really wasn't that many people. So we both got up. I think Bruce did he do okay? Yeah, I don't know, he had 1 or 2 funny ones or something, but I think he hadn't gotten up in a while. But now it's just like, I just don't want to do it anymore, and it's, I'm like, fuck, I wish this dude was around like 6 months ago when I was fucking still into it, and like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it. I'm exhausted complaining about my struggles with it and just like doing it. So honestly, I don't know. We went to get up on, what was it, Tuesday night? And I was fucking signed up and ready to get up. It was at this bar over in Sherman Oaks. Just like a stupid kind of dive bar. All of a sudden, I don't know, there's like a shit ton more mics right now. And there's a lot of, every fucking night, there's like a dozen open mics you could do. It's ridiculous. They're just open up all over us. And one's right down the street from my house. And we're just in there. And I'm like, I wrote all these jokes that day. I mean, they were more like, not long, but like just kind of stories. Kind of like I'm telling you right now, right? But at least in a little bit more jokey form. And I was like so psyched about them. And everyone kind of read them. What was it? Bruce and Corinne. I think Brandon and this other dude that's, I don't know, a friend of Bruce and Corinne's. And everyone read them and were just like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, these suck. So I don't want to go up with this. And I was just like, I don't want to go up. I don't want to do this. And even fucking Corinne, who's been a, we've talked about her, but she's been a quote-unquote a stand-up for a long time. And she's like, I don't want to do it. She's like, what's the point of this? Why don't I want to do this anymore? Like, this is, look at this room. Look at these fucking people. Look at these comics. They suck. Like, all their jokes suck. No one's paying attention. She's like, we're not paying attention. We're on our phones. We're bullshitting. We're making fun of everybody. She's like, did people drive across town and get up and waste their whole night to do this? I'm like, God, she's fucking right. Like, fuck this. What? Open mics suck. They suck. Unless you're like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what fucking benefit they are. The only thing I can think of is that you're actually on stage in front of people, and that it keeps you frosty in that sense, that you're just on, at least on stage doing it. But no one's laughing, and you can't tell if your fucking jokes are working. Nobody wants to be there. This is fucking, why am I going through this? Because you don't get any real like feedback. I don't know, that there's, to me it's like the proving, this is what it's just, I try to dodge this fact. Even though this is a cold hard fact. These are things like up there with like women aren't funny and all this kind of shit. There's just some stuff is they're stereotypes obviously, but like they're pretty true. They're there for a reason. And like this is the cold truth of comedy. You got to have some natural ability towards it. I do not. And hang on, sorry. Fuck this phone. I'm like a fucking. Like a chimp throwing firecrackers with any stimulus. I respond to like a fucking asshole. You got to have some natural ability at it. You really do. You got to just kind of be funny. All my guys I listen to their podcasts and shit like that, they all seem like they were pretty good from like even their first fucking mic. Like Fitzsimmons, all these guys, they're like, they were pretty good right away. And then they got way better with a lot of hard work. But they already had a foot forward. So if you don't, which I really don't. I'm a fucking funny guy, but I'm not. I don't know how to turn that into stand-up funny. I have no way of doing that. And it also has to be. You got to be young. I'll say there's 3 things. You really should be young. It's really hard to start at fucking 35 or whatever. Was it 35 or 36? 35. And it has to be like your sole focus. You have to not want to do anything else but fucking stand-up. You know, like that's it. You got to have those 3. And I have. 0 of 1, all of the fucking second one. I'm too old. And third, I'm kind of doing it as a hobby. I don't really know what my end game is. And this is what really bothered me about it too. I won't talk about this too long. Don't worry. When I was in a fucking band back in the day, that was all I wanted to fucking do was be. I was like, what, 18, again, 19, maybe 20, like 18, 19, 20, and like All I wanted to do was, I mean, if someone was like, hey, you want to fucking open for Earth Crisis? I'd be fucking losing my mind. And then right now, if someone said, hey, do you want to be on a fucking huge comedy festival open for, you know, fucking Sarah Silverman? I'd be like, no, it's fucking, that's scary. I don't want to do that. Like, I never had that impulse in a band. I'd be like, I wouldn't even think twice. I'd be like, dude, I'd open for Metallica and I would love it. And there's just all these fucking, just kind of shows I could do or try to get on that I won't do because I'm either scared or I don't want to bother and shit. I'm like, that's not right. That's not the correct impulse. And there's people out there that are working their ass off to do this. And I just feel like I'm a waste of their time. And I've had a really bad time. I don't know what happened this year. I was never like this bad. Nothing I fucking write is working. Or again, maybe it's just the open mics that I'm going to that are not receptive and maybe the jokes are fine and I'm just not getting a response because nobody wants to be there. But like, it's just, I just fucking bomb every time. And now it's getting to the point where I don't want to be one of those guys where my name gets pulled and they're like, oh, that, I don't want to be that guy. Like, I know you're not going to be fucking Eddie Murphy, but like one of those guys that just suck and it's just a waste of everybody's fucking time. I really feel like I'm starting to be that guy, and that really fucking bugs me. Like, this fucking guy, like, this dude sucks. Like, there's guys that aren't great, but you don't mind. They're just like benign and they get up and they're just whatever. But like, I'm starting to think I just fucking suck, and it's just so, it's fucking disheartening. And I don't know. I honestly don't know. I left that mic Tuesday and I'm like, I don't know, dude. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. There's just so much more free fucking time, and it's just, what am I doing? I'm not trying to be a comic. And if you're not trying to be a comic and do that as your fucking thing, you know, like fucking Jay Leno fucking did nothing but try to be a comic and like lived on the streets just to, you know, because his goal was to be a professional fucking comic and he didn't give a shit. Gave up everything. Like, I don't have that kind of drive. So just what the fuck am I doing? It's kind of a waste of time. So I don't know. I might not do it anymore, to be quite frank. Even though I just feel like a giant. I'm like, what do I do? Like, it's like one of my arms fell off. It just feels like such a fucking giant, like a giant fucking hole. To not do it. I want to replay. I'm like, I want to fucking play drums again for somebody. Maybe I'll do that. But whatever. I'm not gonna go on about it. But it just, I don't know where I'm at with it. I'm tired of fucking struggling with it. And I'm not good. I don't have any natural proclivity towards it. I mean, I gave it a real, I mean, almost fucking 2 years in, and I'm still, I don't know. I haven't made any fucking friends. I hate that. I'm not really friends with anybody. That sucks too. It's just, I feel like a fucking outcast. Like, everyone I know that started around my time all got into some clique or friends or whatever, and I'm still just like that dude. I'll kind of say hi to people and shit, but no one's ever like, hey, come have a fucking beer with us. You know, go out with the, you learn from me, you go out with the guys, you take a beer, you put it in your pocket, and you just leave it, and you drink it by yourself later. That's something I learned. That's what I do because I want to be alone. I don't want to drink with a bunch of amateurs that just made me shoot, you know, some stupid thing. I didn't even think it was that funny. So I'll take your beer to go. Drink it. Creative woes, you know? What do you want? It's really hard to look over this fucking computer and drive. God damn it. Fuck me for forgetting to print this motherfucker, stupid asshole. I'm going to do fucking Rappaport's Danny Aiello and yell at myself. God, is that fucking fun. I started listening to Michael Rappaport's podcast. I Am Rappaport. And I only heard one episode, and I'm already like, he's another one of these guys. He's such a, I love him on other people's shows. He's like Dice. Like, he's such a force of nature that a little of him goes, really goes a long way. And a thing of just him, it just gets tiresome, and the shtick wears off kind of fast. But he does this Danny Aiello impression. It's so fucking funny. God damn, he does yelling Danny Aiello. When he fucks up, he yells at himself in a Danny Aiello voice. That's great. What else we got here? Okay, so Uber.
2 miles. Take exit 13A onto I-110 south toward Convention Center.
I will. Uber Saturday night. My first real balls to the wall Saturday night Uber in a long fucking time. So I picked up this couple. I did that mic Santa Monica, and I turn on my Uber right fucking there. And I pick up this couple, and they're going to Woodland Hills. That's a fucking drive. That's a good 45 minutes. And they get in my car. These two, it's a guy and a girl. They didn't say a fucking word the entire trip. They were watching something on their phone and just giggling at it, just going, every 50 seconds, he's like, she's like, this is all I heard. Besides, can you turn up the heat? Can you turn down the heat? Can you turn up the heat? I think four fucking times this bitch asked me to change the fucking temperature in the car. I was like, honey, we're going to Woodland Hills here. What? You want me to get out a fucking olive branch and fan you, Cleopatra? Shut the fuck up. I don't know. I had a good amount of trips that night, and so I was in a mood, man. I was fucking horny, and I was kind of, it was one of those nights where I was really hoping something would kind of pop off just because I was bored. And I pick up these two fucking Japs. He's too slanty. No, I pick up these two Asian chicks in Hollywood. They're fucking cute, and I'm like, whoa, what's up? And they get in the car, and they didn't seem really drunk or anything. They just seemed like regular. And I'm at the corner of Sunset, making a left, about to make a left on the Western. She's like, excuse me, can you pull over? Because I'm about to vomit. And I was like, oh, boy. Oh, it's the longest fucking light ever. I pull over. This is a fucking pretty busy intersection. And any Swingers fans, it's not far from the Dresden from Swingers. And I fucking pull over. And there's like four black dudes or a bunch of people just waiting for the bus on the bus bench. And this chick rolls out the window and just pukes out of my car. And everyone's like, oh, all the fucking, everyone's yelling. I tried to get as far away from them as possible, but I was just like, sorry, honey, I don't want any puke in my car. And the girl's just like, man, was the fucking vomit pouring out of this woman was unbelievable. And her friend is just like, that's it, get it out. And she's patting her on the back. She's like patting her on the back and rubbing her back like she's her mom. And you just hear like, and you just, you it sounded like buckets being poured out. I was like, I'm like laughing. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I go, would you guys have a Thanksgiving meal before this? And she was like, This chick pukes for, I swear to you, for like fucking 3 or 4 minutes straight. I mean, it was incredible. And she was little. I mean, you know, little Asian chick. And the friend's like, that's it. Yeah, just get it out. She's rubbing her. And I'm like, this is so fucking crazy. And then the girl goes, okay, thank you. I'm done. And it was like the most polite fucking vomit I'd ever heard. It was the fucking craziest shit. And I was like, God, you're fucking cute. And then they both immediately passed the fuck out in my backseat. They were just like, I mean, they were like talking everything before, and they were just like both just gone. They looked like they were fucking dead bodies. That they're all, the one chick's like, her face was like in the fucking door handle of the back door in the back. The fucking like door lock was jamming her eyeball and shit. I was like, wow, you bitches fucking got down tonight. And then so there was a bunch doing my thing, and then later on at night, you got to get downtown around 2 o'clock in the morning, downtown LA. That's where the fucking, it skyrockets, goes through the roof. You get like 30, 40 bucks a fare. So I haven't done it in a while. And now it turns on early again. Now it hits around 1. And I'm like, fuck, I got to get down there. So I don't know what was going on. I had like 2 or 3 fucking trips in a row where I just couldn't find the fucking people. I don't know, downtown's like a mess. There's no real, it'll just tell you like a corner. You don't know where, there's just people everywhere. And I'm like, well, where the fuck's my, I don't know where the passenger is. There's not even like a solid address. And there's an Uber pool option. Now, if you do Uber pool, like I'm UberX, and you can do the pool. The pool is you pick up another passenger while you're driving around. And I don't want to fuck with it because I've heard nothing but bad stories about this. And it just seems weird to me, and I'd just rather not. But when it's like 3.5 times the fucking rate, if you don't do the fucking pool, like you're really, and I wasn't taking the rides, and I guess I wasn't thinking about like, I picked up these fucking two dudes and drove them to, like Glendale. Like it was a good fucking trip. It was like 3.5, I made like fucking 45 bucks off that one ride. But like I dodged 2 Uber pools, and I was like, you fucking retard. If you would have picked someone else up at that rate, you would have made double the fucking money. And by the time I dropped those dudes and got back downtown, the surge was gone. I was like, fuck! I lost like 50, at least 50 bucks. I don't know who the fuck knows how much. They could have been going to Long Beach. It could have been a fucking, I was so fucking mad at myself. I was like, you fucking jackass. Because normally I would never bother with it, but like I should have that time, shouldn't I have? But before I found these two dudes, these guys call me, and they text me like, hey, we're coming, bro. And it was a really high rate, so I didn't want to cancel the ride, even though they're taking forever. And while I'm sitting waiting for these dudes, there's fucking like, this really, she looked like a fucking hooker, this fucking hot chick. She's like kind of stumbling around, she's wasted. And I keep seeing her kind of like, look, she's fucking smoking. I'm like, I'm sitting on the side of the road waiting for these dudes, wherever the fuck they are. And she keeps kind of looking at my car, and she sees the Uber sticker, and she comes over, and she's like, will you take me to Yucca Street in Hollywood? She's like, I'll just pay you cash. And like, she, I mean, her fucking pussy was almost hanging out of this fucking dress. And I was just like, I was so close to taking it. But like, I had such a good fucking ride on the line already that I didn't know. I don't know how much she was going to fucking, but was she going to give me $20? Like, in the end, it ended up being the right decision, actually, because I, you know, I ended up making more with those guys, and I'm sure she would have fucking paid me. But, God damn, I just wanted her to get in my fucking car. And she just, I don't know, it looked like she was kind of fucking horny, too. I don't know. It was just, I got a weird vibe off, and I was like, I just want to fucking get in and just molest this fucking chick in my car and take her unofficially over to fucking Hollywood and try some shit, because, you know, she wouldn't have known who I was. She was just walking on the street and wanted to fucking hail a ride, like, off the books. I'm telling you, I was so fucking close to doing it. And I was driving those dudes home, and that's all I could think about. I was like, God, I wish I would have fucking taken that chick. I got a feeling I just could have fucking played with her fucking puss or something. She was hot. I don't know, or maybe not. But that happened, and then the last people I picked up, this is like 2:30 in the fucking morning. It's when I drove all the way back, and now the surgery's gone. I'm like, well, I just drove all the way back here. I'll take one more ride home. So I'm like, I'm driving down the street, and there's no one on the street except two people. There's this skinny black dude and this fucking Mexican chick who was, oh my God. I mean, she was in this cocktail. I don't know how she got in this fucking cocktail. Just fucking ass and titties and legs, just fucking thick, pouring out of this motherfucker. I'm like, oh my God, that chick's so fucking, oh my God. She's so hot. She had heels. And she's taller than the black guy. So they're my fucking passengers. I'm like, God damn it. Maple? Wait, what? What is she saying? 14 miles? What did she say? Oh, 1.2 miles. 14 towards Maple Avenue. What the fuck is that? Oh, Grand Avenue. I see. Is that going the wrong way? What's going on here? Maple. I pick him up, and they're like making out my backseat. The black dude was like fucking gangster. Seemed like a fucking, you kind of seemed like, I don't know. I got a weird vibe from him, but chick was smoking. So I take him to their place, and she gets out of the fucking car. The face plant this woman did, she fucking stumbled in her heels getting out. And like, it was like the circumference, like the area she covered was like 9 feet. She's stumbling everywhere, like just loose. She's like walking at a 90 degree angle, trying to like compose her balance. And she fucking just loses it and fucking face plants right on the fucking sidewalk on her big stupid tits. I'm looking, boom, just fucking went down. God damn, is that girl sexy? Fuck, she was so hot. Oh my Lord, she looked like a fucking porn star. But I think that's my Uber stories. This is a weird episode, man. I'm really distracted. I apologize. So Sunday, now I Ubered till like 3:00 in the morning, and they had this promotion going that if you do 35 trips from Thursday night to Sunday night, you get an extra bonus, $200 or something, $150, $200. 35 don't seem like, I started driving at 8 Saturday night and drove till 2:30 in the morning, and I had like 12 trips. I'm like, oh, dude, I must have done, I was purposely not looking because I'm like, I'll probably get 20 trips tonight, man. And like, no, I had like fucking 12. And like, I think three of them didn't count because they were in Woodland Hills. It's in one area of LA, you got to do it. So I'm like, wow, 35 is a lot more fucking trips than it seems like. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll fucking, Sunday, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to take Sunday off. I don't need that, you know, Saturday night's good. That gives me an extra, somewhere between $100 and $200, which is, that's fine. But I wake up Sunday morning, I'm all fucked up, man, because I don't stay up that late. That really fucking, it really does the job on me. I'm fucking out of it the next day. I drive up to get breakfast. I still got my Uber sticker on. I go up to the fucking Diego's to get my two eggs and toast. And it's two scrambled eggs and ham and toast. And I put jelly on the toast, and then I put eggs on the toast with jelly and eat it. Like a little fucking, it's like a little kit. And then I break that up with eating some ham with the fucking eggs. I don't eat no ham and eggs because they're high in cholesterol. Fucking Fife Dog died from goddamn tribe. He was 45 years old. Fife. Oh, he was the 5 foot, the freaky diabetic. I think he was diabetic. He was like Patrice O'Neal. But fuck, man. Fucking Fife Dog died. Fucking love Tribe Called Quest. That's all I listen to. I Uber and drive all fucking night. That's all we do is listen to Tribe Called Quest. And everyone loves it. I got a 5-star rating. Got another one this week. I've had nothing but 5-star ratings since I started putting it. I swear to you, I'm not even fucking exaggerating. I get breakfast. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do some more driving. Let's see how this goes. So it's Sunday morning. Like I said, I'm kind of fucking out of it. And hang on. Am I going to the 10 or the 110? What am I doing? 9 miles. Maybe 11. Okay. This is going to start getting hairy now because I'm going to have to. I might cut this in just when I get off on Maple because this is going to be too much shucking and driving. WonderCon. Oh, yeah. I should talk about that fucking girl. That giant WonderCon sign just made me think of that on the fucking convention center downtown. Where was I going? What was I talking about? Oh, I started another topic. What was I talking about? Okay, yeah, yeah. Sunday morning, Uber. So, I pick up this couple, and they're going to LACMA, which is Wilshire, and like I said, the Californian sketch from fucking SNL is more real life than you could fucking imagine. I took Santa Monica to fucking was it Wilshire and like Fairfax or something like that. All I have to do from where I picked these people up, which is right by my apartment, is take Laurel Canyon over down to fucking Santa Monica to Wilshire to Fairfax. Like it should have been a 15-minute trip. For some reason, I'm telling you, I was like all fucked up. Like I was a mess when I woke up, and I was thinking of goddamn. I got LACMA confused with the fucking the Skirball Museum, which is museum, which is like way the other way, and like now these people just happen to like they're from Chicago and never been to LA, so they don't know where the fuck they're going, and I'm going over the hill, and it's telling me for LACMA, it's like. It's giving me like the wrong directions, and I was like, "This isn't how you get to fucking Skirball." And I was like, "Is this where you guys are going, the museum here?" And they're like, "It's like, well, is that LACMA? We're going to LACMA." And I was like, "I'm way the fuck over on the goddamn 405 hill." I'm like, "Oh, this LACMA, you fucking idiot! Not fucking Skirball." So, dude, I took these people so fucking far out of the way, it was insane. And I was just like, I couldn't. I was a mess. Like, I couldn't like think. I couldn't drive for shit. I almost got like fucking. Two accidents. I went to make a left-hand turn. Well, where I picked them up, where I went to make the left on the fucking Laurel Canyon, where there's like the freeway entrance right there, and it's really hairy. Like you'll think it's all clear, and like in 1 second a car will make a right because they're flying off the fucking freeway off the off ramp, and they just go swinging around the corner. So it's really tough to make a left. And I pulled out into the fucking street, and a car came out of nowhere. And I'm like fuck, and I went to back up, and then the asshole behind me wouldn't give me enough room. To back up on the street that I was just on. So I'm just in the middle of the fucking oncoming traffic lanes. And people were like, oh. I was like, fuck, man. They actually still gave me a good rating, so good for them. But, like, I was fucking up everywhere. And halfway through the trip, I'm like, I just got this overwhelming, like, I don't get these people out of my car. I don't want any more fucking passengers. I'm done Ubering. You just feel yucky. It feels like putting on someone else's underwear. You're just like, I can't do this today. And I just had this overwhelming, like, I couldn't wait to get him the fuck out and just go home. I'm like, I'm not doing this. And I can just feel myself sinking into one of my Sunday holes where it's just, I just go into a fucking complete funk. I get nothing done. I lollygag around the house all day, just wasting time, not doing the plethora of things I want to do because it's usually my only day off. And I'm fucked up from driving so late that I just can't. I'm on such a good like routine. Like I'm pretty good about getting up in the morning now, but it's really hard. Which is, I think that's one of my compulsions is why I always want to watch my Sunday morning movie. It's just become a thing ever since I started Uber driving like last year. And for some reason, like going into a theater and watching a movie like just like takes me out of everything and just kind of like resets me. It's very weird. Very therapeutic. Yeah, therapeutic. Hang on, I'm trying to get off on Maple. You know, as we were doing this in broad daylight. And such traffic. I mean, you're like window to window with everybody. And they just see me in my car with these big headphones on. Talking in this stupid microphone like a jerk. I guess that. Okay, enough with the Bill Burr laugh. We got it. You can laugh like a fucking faggot. Whoa, buddy. Whoa, that was a closey. They don't fucking throw your hands up, cunt. What the fuck do you want from me? This guy just blew a fucking cloud of pot out of his window. And once you get into the same the lane, we went to merge into the same lane at the same time. That's a fucking... Shit happens. Don't fucking yell shit at me. I'll fucking knock your fucking face in. I'm trying to get on this exit. Hang on. Take exit 14A. I am Siri. Stop hollering at me. Luki, you shouldn't stop doing stand-up because you're a big pussy. And if you keep working at it really hard, you'll probably get good at it. You don't give yourself enough stage time. You need to get up 3 or 4 times a week and be completely comfortable talking in front of people. And then you'll be able to access your funny self and be not like other comics and have legit funny things to say. I know, you fuck. I know. Fuck me in the cunt. Why am I swearing so much? Stop. Stop with the F word. All right, listen. I'm gonna cut this because I'm downtown, and it's gonna be a mess, and I'm not gonna be able to concentrate, and I'm gonna have too many directions. So I'll see you guys in like 10 minutes. All right, buds, hang in there. Talk amongst yourselves. All right. Well, that was a fucking mess. You know, I had to turn around downtown. The part at the end of wow, it sounds bright. The part at the end of Dark Knight, where he's got that nuclear bomb and he has to fly away with it. They're in like that thing where there's like it looks like they're like almost under a bridge. It's down on Hope Street. I took a picture. You know, I'll throw it on my stupid Flickr. Not that anybody gives a shit, but every time I go down there, I think there's been so many fucking movies down there. Oh my god. There's like so many things have been shot down there. Very, very recognizable spot downtown LA. But I'm driving around for fucking 20 minutes trying to find him. And the spot where he said he was going to be, he wasn't. And I made a right-hand turn, and I see all the trucks. And he's out, like, in the middle of the street with his stupid Easy Rig and the fucking camera. My boss, DP, shooting a music video. So Sunday hole, right? I just feel it coming. And I'm like, shit, I haven't had one in a while. And I hate him. I don't want to be, like, shitty and depressed on a Sunday. I want to get shit done. I want to, you know. I've been pretty good. Most of the time, I am. But like I said, staying up that late kind of fucked me up. So, I don't know. I'm about to just shit my day away, and I'm like, I haven't seen Avengers 2 since it came out last year, so I'm like, fuck it, I'll get Avengers 2. And I watch it. Like, I liked it more the second time, and it's amazing. There's a scene where they go back to Hawkeye's farm. It's kind of like a chill out scene where everybody's just shooting the shit. And there's this part where, because they're kind of building this like romance between Black Widow and Hulk. Marvel fans, they wanted a romantic angle to the movie so that more broads would go watch it with their boyfriends and maybe grab their cock in the movie theater. The guys like that. It's a more of a selling point, Marvel fans. Extra power to give all the fanboys a boner. So that their girlfriend can grab their little pricked in their jeans in the movie theater. So, they come up with this whole angle. And, there's a scene where she has to tell him that she can't, like, what are we gonna do? Like, I can't have kids because I have fucking Hulk sperm. And you know, maybe you'll have a Hulk baby that'll rip right through your vagina. And she's like, well, I can't have kids anyways because I got my fucking cunt ripped out in the spy school that I was at. But she's so good in this scene. Like, she tells him, and, like, what a great act. Fucking Scarlett Johansson. God damn, she's good. She's so good in this scene. I was like, wow. Fucking, that was, like, didn't even, like, belong in this movie. It's like a kid's fucking movie. And it was some fucking deep shit, but she's so good. And then I love that the Iron Man versus Hulk fight is so great. That Hulkbuster armor. And I forgot how fucking funny that movie. That movie's hilarious. There's so many fucking funny lines in it and just stupid shit, but it's obvious. It's nowhere. I know I covered it ad nauseum last year. I'm Looking Good Radio. I'm sure you can find that episode if you give a flying fig Newton. Let's keep it PG-13. Not as near as good as the first one, but first one's one of the best movies I've ever seen. Honest to God, of that sort. But yeah, I don't know. Check out Avengers 2 again. Give it another shot if you were mad about it, because there's a lot of good stuff in it. It might not be exactly worth more than the sum of its parts, but it's got its moments. It really does. I wanted to go to the movies. There was nothing up this weekend. I almost went and saw Star Wars again. But I didn't. And I still want to see, what's it called? Because it won Best Picture, Spotlight. And I'm dying to see that Midnight Special, but it had such weird show times. It's only up in like 3 theaters. That movie looks fucking cool. The guy that made Mud and all that shit. But it didn't really get much of a release yet in LA. I'm not paying fucking $20 to see it at ArcLight. Because it's like 80-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. And like, unless I'm like fucking 90% sure it's going to be that good, I won't go to ArcLight because it's too fucking expensive. Sunday, so I got my shit together. It wasn't as bad of a Sunday. I usually eat like shit. I day drink all day. I wallow in my own fucking self-disgust and self-pity. And then Monday, I'm like rebooted. But I got my shit together. I'm like, you know what? Self, Luke, you don't want to eat shitty on Sunday because you ate pretty good all week and you've been back doing crunches again. You're trying to get back into shape. You don't want to go and eat a lot of junk food. It's going to make you feel like shit. So, you know what? You're right, man. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat something healthy. So, I went to Ralph's and I bought a fish, a big piece of fish. Like a fresh, you know, fresh fish. fresh fish. And I did it like Bill Burr always talks about. I've never cooked a fish, so I'm like, you know what, I'll watch some YouTube videos and figure out, you know, how to do this. I know that sounds ridiculous. Luke, you're 36 years old. You're telling me you never took a pan and you cooked a piece of fish in it? No, I did not. I've had frozen fish that I unthawed in a fucking pan. I'm talking about cooking them like a pan on top of a stove. So I turn on this, what on YouTube, how to cook a fish. And this old fucking lady looks like Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch. Is explaining in this big fancy kitchen. I'm like, look at this privileged ass white bitch. And she explains how to cook fish. So you take some, I ended up using vegetable oil. You're supposed to use olive oil. And I realized halfway through cooking the fish that I just happened to look, I don't think I've needed either of these two things in my life, or at least not since maybe seventh grade when I was in home and career and we had to cook things, much to my mother's chagrin. And I just happened to look up and see halfway through the cooking process that we did indeed have olive oil that I had no clue about. Because I'm like, I'm not going all the way to the fucking grocery store to buy that shit. I'm just going to use vegetable oil and hopefully that works. So the lady tells you, you take some olive oil and you cover just the surface of the pan. You heat up the olive oil and you lay the fucking fish into the pan. And it should come to a nice sizzle. And it doesn't take very long to cook. Fish cooks really fast. You're supposed to do about 2 minutes a side. And you'll see it start to cook. And I found out there's something called the presentation side. The first side that you drop in is going to be a little darker than the other. When you flip it over, that's the side you want up. That's the presentation side. So I'm like, cool, sounds easy enough. I beep, bop, boop, I pour some fucking vegetable oil in the fucking pan. Oh, I turn on the fucking flame. It starts to, so I let it, I'm letting it. Now, I'm not hearing nothing. I'm not hearing the vegetable oil sizzle or anything in the pan. And after maybe 2-3 minutes, I'm kind of like Luke Skywalker, used the force, waved my hand over the top, and I could feel the heat. And I'm like, okay, this thing's heated up. I lay the piece of fish in there. And the sound this made when it hit the pan was if you dropped a fucking tractor trailer from like a C-130 at 30,000 feet in the ocean. It was like, I was like, ah! And fucking, fucking vegetable oil exploded. I mean, it shot fucking everywhere. All over the stove, all over the, in my fucking face. It was like a fucking roadside bomb went off. I was like, what the fuck? I guess I used too much. What a fucking mess. I was like, Jesus Christ. I looked like the fish is like floating around in circles on the pan. I'm like, oh, I don't think it's supposed to fucking do that. I'm like, I can't even cook a piece of fish. I totally fucked it up. Now, like, I mean, it was so loud. It was like, I'm like fucking screaming and you couldn't hear it. It scared the shit out of me. So like, I thought I cooked though. I obviously used weight. It didn't seem like I used that much. I guess I did. But, I take this thing out. It's dripping like the fucking Jackson 5's hair. It was just fucking so greasy and gross. I'm like, I fucked up my healthy piece of fish. And, like, my hands just stunk like vegetable oil all night. Like, I just smelled like vegetable oil for the rest of the night. And Brian, if you're listening, I cleaned it all up. But it was like, fucking Christ. And I was like, I was so bummed. I fucked on my fish and rice. And then on another food-related topic the other day, I just listened to an old episode where I talked about this. There's this whole thing where a nap makes me snacky. I don't know if this does this for everybody else. But I just took one before I left for this lovely trip here downtown. Hang on, I'm taking a drink. I stopped to a quick nappy because I slept like shit last night. And when I wake up from the nappy, I'm fucking snacking. I want junk food. It's like this really fucking driving deep impulse. I'm like, I need junk. I need something to find. I want fucking junk food right now. Like the worst thing I can think of. It's really strange. It's like because you give like your body and your brain a reset. And when my body resets, apparently it wants shit. So the other night, I took a nap, and unfortunately for me, and my fucking shitty love handles, and my fucking tubby stomach, and my fucking bad food intake, there's a McDonald's right around the fucking corner from where I take this nap. So I go, and I'm like, oh, and I was kind of hungover, too, because I ended up drinking a little bit Sunday. What did I do Sunday night? I ended up drinking, I think I was just sitting around drinking for the fuck of it, and I just had one too many, and I was like, I even realized when I was pouring it at like midnight, like, why am I pouring this fucking, I don't even need this. I don't fucking, I'm fine right now. I'm just a little buzzed. This is going to put me over. And it did. I had just enough to have a slight fucking hangover. Oh, no, because I was writing. I was writing and drinking and smoking a cigar like a fucking, like I'm fucking John Milius. Which really sucked. It didn't work at all. All it did was distracting. It was hard to write because when I would smoke and I looked down with a cigar in my mouth, the smoke would just blow my eyes and make it all burny and teary. I'm like, oh, this sucks. It was like an experiment. It failed. But I've been writing like fucking crazy. I'm on page 65 of fucking Tommy Hawk within 2 weeks. That's the most I've ever written. The fastest. And I can't fucking wait to get home. I had a fucking hangover from writing. I was like so happy about that. I was like, I wasn't out in a fucking club. I wasn't sitting around watching a football game. I was like, it's getting very ritualistic now when I'm at home and I have to have a fucking drink while I'm writing. Like I'm fucking James Joyce. But yeah, I had just a little bit too much. Fuck, I love this screenplay. Oh, it's fucking so much fun. I'm just worried. I feel like there's not quite enough action for Tommy Hawk. There's a lot of running and defending and not enough. I don't know. I'm only on the first draft, so whatever. But, so McDonald's, I go and, oh my, I want some shit, man. I want a fucking, because I'm hungover makes it even worse. I get an ice cream sundae. And a 10-piece McNugget. Now, ice cream sundae at McDonald's is really small. It's like $1.20. This thing's tiny. And, like, because I'm on a diet, I only eat the top half that has the fudge. I never eat the whole. I didn't eat the whole thing. They don't put that much hot fudge on it either. So I eat about half the sundae. And, like, I was kind of fulfilled. And I was like, I've been fucking eating pretty good. Why am I going to go and fucking eat 10 McNuggets? I'm going to feel like shit after I eat these McNuggets. They make me feel fucking, they're so good. And they're so good when you're hungover. But like I said, maybe it wasn't even that bad of a hangover. But like, I'm like, don't fucking eat these. So I put them in my car. And now I get in traffic. I get these things in Marina Del Rey. And I'm driving back to Studio City. It's a fucking 90-minute fucking drive. And these motherfuckers are sitting on my passenger seat. And I'm just like, don't fucking eat those. And I'm like white knuckling. Like my hand's shaking and shit. I was like a fucking vampire in a blood fucking clinic. I was like, oh, I want you so bad. My whole fucking car smelled like them. And I was dying. And I'm like, I got like to the halfway point. I'm like, dude, like I'm talking myself down like a fucking hostage to go to jail. I'm like, man, we're already halfway home. Listen, this is what we'll do, self. We'll give it to that bum that's hanging out over there in Coldwater. The Coldwater, right? There's always a homeless person or people there. Maybe they, Luke, they probably really like a 10-piece McNugget. It'll probably still be warm by the time you get it to them. I know you don't got any cash to give them, but at least you can give them some chicken McNuggets. I'm like, I'll absolutely fucking do that. So, I actually fucking made it. I was like, I couldn't believe I didn't eat these. I'm telling you, like, my rationale won over my impulse, where I'm just like, I'm so glad I didn't, because I would have felt like they just rip up my stomach. And I get there, and sure enough, the fucking homeless guy wasn't there at the Coldwater. I was so bummed. So I gave it to the next closest homeless person I know, my roommate, and he ate them. I was watching. There's so much fucking TV. I don't even know like where to start right now. I'm usually never like this because I don't watch that much TV. I don't know when it fucking quote unquote dropped, but the second half of the last season of Mad Men, because season 7 was the final one. They split it into two halves. There was the first 7 episodes. And then like a year later, they fucking, I don't know, half a year or some shit, they released the other 7. Well, they just made it onto there. There's that. There's entire Daredevil season 2. And now I just saw Better Call Saul is up. And I want to watch the Mr. Show season again. I'm like, shit, man. I'm fucking inundated with stuff. So I finally stuck my toe in Daredevil. And this fucking season features the Punisher, which I'm just fucking losing my shit about. And like I said, I've had mixed feelings about that Daredevil show. Overall, I really like it. And the shit they do well, they do really well. But then some of the writing, and especially the dialogue, is just fucking atrocious and so fucking corny. And like it's for like a 1950s movie. It's so just stagey. Like, it doesn't sound natural at all. I don't know who the fuck writes for this thing. And of course, and Faggy, the guy that's his fucking partner, that fat fuck, that pig faced motherfucker, he's the worst actor I've ever seen. He sucks his dialogues, everything. He's terrible. But whatever. What do I know? The Punisher's in it, and like, I'm almost at the end of episode 3. They already introduced him in episode 1, kind of. But it's just like, I mean, I got a ways to go. But like, so far, it's kind of boring. It's just not very Punisher. He's just kind of like a dude that shoots things, and I'm like, it doesn't really feel like the Punisher. It just feels like a fucking vigilante that shoots. I don't know. There's something missing about it. But And it's just a lot, 5 pages of fucking dialogue. It's just a lot of dialogue. And just whole, I don't know. I gotta, maybe next week I could finish it and have a whole different opinion. But as of right now, so far, this isn't exactly blowing up my skirt, gentlemen. Remember when Charlton Heston says that in True Lies? Street Jesus, Harry, you really screwed the pooch on this one. Fucking True Lies is so good. And he's great in that. I love fucking Chuck Heston. He's great. Hang on, let me make sure this isn't my boss texting me or something. Make sure everything's okay. I hear there's a fucking lot of dings going on here. Oh, no, it's from this fucking chick. I got a couple girls lined up, so I might have a good story about this titty monster. I sent the boys a picture. Wait till you get a load of this one. She has the biggest hits I've ever seen. They're fucking, like, Nicole Minaj size. Like, they're just, they're enough for three people. So I'm almost doing it just for the goal for the show. I can't wait. I'm supposed to hang out with her tomorrow night. So I can't wait to see how this goes. That should be interesting. But what else is that coming up? I don't know. Now I'm already thinking about maybe I'll do stand-up tonight. I'm a fucking mess. I've never had a struggle like this that I can think of in my whole life. Like, I tried acting, and I was a theater minor in college. And you can tell immediately who had natural acting ability and who was like, oh, man, that dude. There was one guy, he was so good. And he was just fucking, like, such a natural, effortless dude. And I'm like, that guy right there should pursue acting. Like, that dude has it. He's got the touch. Doo, 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 doo. He's got the power. Yeah. You know, I stunk. I was bad. But I still wonder how I would do now because I was so stage frighty, and I'm not anymore, you know. I wonder if I'd be any better at it. I don't know, because like half of it was just being so fucking nervous. Everyone was watching me, and I was not used to being in front of people. I couldn't fucking relax and get into the character. But like some people were really good, and it's like, I don't know, that's how I feel about stand up. There's guys that are fucking good at it. They should fucking go after it. And people like me that aren't, that have a fucking ton of work to even get. Whatever. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, I don't know. So I hope Daredevil gets better. Did I talk about anything? Fuck, I think I might have hit it already. Oh, yeah, there's one other thing. Going back to the driving. This is another non-point, but whatever. I'll waste your time with it. Never in my fucking life have I seen... Maybe it just happened all the time, and I just started noticing it now... of cars driving around with their fucking headlights off. It is a constant... I don't know if there's some kind of social media push that I'm not aware of. It's a hashtag kill your headlights. But no, everyone out here is driving with their fucking lights off. And I'm like, how do this many cars not have automatic daylight lights that just go on when the lights turn off? Like, this many people still have, like, analog fucking turn-off, turn-on headlights? Dude, there's, like, a fucking dozen cars a night. And like two or three times, like dangerous, like flying down the fucking freeway with no lights on. I'm like, what happened to the fucking headlights? Remember when everybody used to have their fucking headlights on? It was a great time in our lives. You know, everyone was fucking secure and happy, and you could see where everybody was. You didn't have to worry about some idiot fucking blindsiding you out of the fucking goddamn darkness flying out of the fucking night like fucking Batman.
Is there a pattern forming here? What is it? Let him tell me. Goodbye!
1988, senior year at Garvey High. Where all the guys were corny, but the girls were mad fly. Lounging with the tipster, cooling with shop. Scoping out the honeys, they know who they are. I was the b-ball playing, fly rhyme saying, fly girl getting, but never was I sweating. Cause when it came to honeys, I would go on a stroke. Until I met my match. Her name was Flo. Yeah, I messed around with the one called Flo. All the troopers round the way used to call her a hoe. But deep down in my heart, I knew that Flo was good to go. Cause I thought it was me, like Belle Biv DeVoe. But little did I know that she was playing with my mind. The only thing I've learned is good girls are hard to find. I feel like Heavy D, I need somebody for me. Not someone whose mind is blank and trying to juice before my banks. Swinging with my main man, Lucky, behind my back. What type of crap is that? Yo, how's about a smack? Word life, I can't front. Thought I was all that. But now it seems I've met my match. I was a stone cold lover. You couldn't tell me that. Settling down with one girl, wasn't trying to hear that. I had Tanya, Tamika, Sharon, Karen, Tina, Stacy, Julie, Tracy. Used to love them, leave them, skeeze them, tease them, find them, lose them, also abuse them. My whole attitude was new day, next hunt. And believe it or not, they all got done. But here comes Flo with the crazy whip appeal, and I'm all too man.
like Alexander O'Neal. Is this really love? Then again, how would I know? After all this time, trying to be a super hoe. She finally played me, but yo, I'd find another, cause I've got the crazy game, and yo, I'm smooth
Ayo,
like butter.
It's like butter. It's like butter, baby. 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 It's like butter. Like the butter, baby. Not no parquet, not no margarine. Strictly butter. Strictly butter, baby.
I remember when girls were goody two-shoes, but now they turn to freaks all of a sudden.
We love you, bye.
He's off hold. My name's Malik. Fight this, fight that. Where you going? Where you at? These girls don't know me from Jack. Yet I feel like the Mac. You didn't want me then, so yo, hun, don't want me now. Here, here, take the towel. Wipe off your brow and take the contact out your eye. You're far from looking fly. You're getting E for effort and T for nice try. And tell me what's the reason for dying your hair. Slum village gold still dangling in your air. You barely have a neck but still sporting a rope. Four finger ring just so Pfeiffer can scope. You looked in the mirror, didn't know what to do. Yesterday your eyes were brown, but today they are blue. Your whole appearance is a lie and it can never be true. And if you really like yourself, then you would try and be you. If your hair and eyes are real, I wouldn't have dissed you. But since it was boy, I had to dismiss you. But if you can't achieve it, then why not try and weave it? If you can't extend it, then you might as well suspend it. If you can't braid it, best thing to do is fade it. I asked you, did you hear? You tell me, Diane, maybe if you were you and just you. Talk to you, maybe, but I can't stand no bionic lady trying hard to look fly. But yo, you're looking dumber. If I wanted someone like you, I would have swum with Jamie Summers. You want to be treated right? See Father MC. Or check Ralph Tresvant for sensitivity. Cause I am not the one. I got